This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Well, Well, Well. Sex, health, and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy's sponsor, Thorn Harbour Health.
Hi, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm your host, Adrian, and I'm here with my new co-host, Jack, who has recently joined the Well, Well, Well team. Hello, Jack. How are you going?
I'm doing all right, Adrian. It is interesting being part of the team remotely, because obviously we are still recording from home at the moment. A lot of us are still working from home. But yeah, I'm the new SAMESH communications and content coordinator at Thorn Harbour, and we kind of speak about that a little bit later on with Daniel, but we'll get to what's coming up in the show, I guess, a little bit later. But yeah, I'll be occasionally hosting on Well, 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 as opposed to the other random stuff that I do around Joy. Yeah,
because you're an old hand at Joy, aren't you?
For better or worse, yeah. Look, I mean, I've done all sorts of weird stuff. Up early for a little bit, checkpoint for a bit. I do news some mornings. Like, it's just, I pop up when you least expect me, and that's part of the problem.
Oh, no.
But now you got to deal with me some Thursday nights as well. So that's what I'll be doing. But I figured, because I'm working on SAMESH, which is, it's a South Australia-focused team and program that I work on, I figured it'd be a good opportunity to bring those topics on board with Well, 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 because as much as Well, Well, Well is on Joy, which is in Melbourne, our live stream can be, you know, listened to anywhere. Our podcast can be downloaded from anywhere. And if, you know, there are people being like, what the hell is Feast Festival? Which was exactly me a week ago. I had no idea what the hell. Like, I didn't know what Feast was until I started this job. I was like, oh, yeah, midsummer. But for South Australia? So
that's a fair description of it.
Well, I mean, that's basically what we're talking about with Daniel in a little bit, who is part of the SAMESH team.
Yes, Daniel. Daniel is the is many things at SAMESH. Does events, volunteers, a bit of health promotion. He does a lot of different things, so it'll be definitely interesting talking to him.
Yes, talking a little bit about Feast, because we were going to talk about Silhouettes with Sky, but Silhouettes doesn't really exist until next year, so we'll probably end up talking about that sometime next year.
No, but that'll be a fantastic thing to cover when that comes round. We'll also be discussing World AIDS Day, which is, I believe, 40 years of since the first HIV diagnosis, and we'll be discussing what that means and World AIDS Day activities with Stephen and Alex from the Positive Living Centre here in Melbourne.
Yes, that's right, down at Commercial Road. But first, I guess we'll check out that interview with Daniel.
You're getting Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
We're joined at the moment by Daniel, who works at SAMESH in South Australia. We're going to be chatting a little bit about Feast, but I guess to begin with, we've all kind of worked with SAMESH, in SAMESH, in some capacity. Adrian, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Would you want to do the 30-second spiel on what SAMESH is?
Sure. SAMESH is South Australian Mobilisation and Empowerment for Sexual Health. It is a South Australian-based LGBTIQ+ and HIV support service based in Adelaide. It's been going for 5+ years, providing support to the community around sexual health, mental health, and other HIV-related support services. And we are lucky to be joined today by Daniel Jeffries of SAMESH. How are you going today, Daniel?
I'm good, thanks.
I guess like one sort of question to start with would be, and there's not a 30-second limit on this, Daniel, what is your sort of involvement? What do you do at SAMESH?
So I do a lot. I'm the volunteer coordinator. I also coordinate all of our events. I run our rapid testing service. And I also coordinate AIDS Awareness Week, World AIDS Day, and the Feast Festival.
So let's get into that then, I guess. Because the Feast Festival, I think a lot of people, especially in Melbourne, would know about Midsummer. People in Sydney would know about Mardi Gras. But Feast, I actually didn't know too much about. I guess let's start with, what is Feast for people that don't know?
Yeah, so Feast is in its 25th year this year. It started back in the 90s and it's evolved over the years from being very community grassroots to taking over entire parts of Adelaide. This year we've got about 100 different events and shows, so it's definitely come a long way. And Same Ash goes to about half of them this year, so it's a quiet year for us.
That sounds exciting. What sort of events are on as part of Feast this year?
So this year we have everything from workshops when it comes to queer writing and poetry. We have book launches from people that have gone past the hobbyist stage. We've got a couple of books coming out this year. We have forums. We have sex work forums. We have tours of different venues around the city. And then we have the bigger comedy shows. So this year's big headliner is Christian Hull, who will be having two shows this year.
So what sort of events, I guess, would Same Ash be at? Let's run with that, right? Because if you said, oh, it's been a quiet year for us, if you want to maybe kick us off with what are some of the events that you or the volleys that you manage or anything like that, where might you see Same Ash staff around at Feast and what does that involve for you?
Yeah, so we go through the Feast guidebook just as we get the first draft, and we pick out the events where we think most of our key demographics will be attending. So when I say it's a quiet year, we usually do the community periodic survey at the same time. So we do that every 2 years here in Adelaide. So without doing it in 2021, it is a quiet year. Last year, we attended 86 events to get that survey done. So this year it's mainly attending the events where we'll have a lot of gay men, we'll have men who have sex with men, and we have people that are more at risk of HIV. So that could be from a older people's workshop where primarily will be older gay men, and we can have a chat to them about new and emerging things. And we could attend the youth groups on another day, and we could talk about the things that, you know, we don't really want to reinvent or talk about too much and teach them the basics.
Well, that sounds interesting. So when you're attending those events, are you taking part in the events or are you just promoting Same Ash's services and things that they and things that are accessible to community members, or what's involved there?
Yeah, so we'll go along and we'll take some flyers to some events. We'll take condom packs to nearly all events. So we hand out about 6,000 or 7,000 condoms at each festival. And everyone sees us coming and they'll ask us, hey, what freebies do you have this year? So this year we've been giving a lot of condoms, a lot of lip balms, drink bottles, as well as promoting the events that we're actually putting on or supporting community groups that we also will help them out with finances, but also just promotion and some social media stuff along the way.
You mentioned the periodic survey a little bit earlier. I've since learned that this is run. You mentioned it's run in Adelaide every second year, but it's run, to my understanding, in a lot of other states every year. What sort of questions might you see on something like the periodic survey, and what is it used for?
Yeah, so the periodic survey, the questions will run are you having casual partners? Are you having regular partners? To what drugs have you used in the past week, 3 months, year? How many partners you're having? When you were last tested? Are you on PEP or PrEP? Have you heard of them? And recent additions have been, has COVID affected the number of sexual partners you're having? So it does evolve, but we try to keep that to a minimum because we've been doing it for 20 years now. If we change it too much, then the results aren't really too comparative or useful.
And what is it sort of used for, I guess?
So we use it in almost everything that we do. So we can get the data and we can work out which groups we need to be targeting a little bit more. If we need to be promoting PEP or PrEP to different age brackets. But also we use it for grant writing. We use it for actually getting programs off the ground or getting finances to actually fund programs. Where we might see some gaps popping up after maybe 4 or 5 years, we can actually start to look at those, and it's in lieu of sort of a needs analysis. It's right there at our fingertips.
Definitely sounds like a very important thing to be doing every 2 years, and definitely seems to guide everything that we do in the HIV sector. You mentioned COVID earlier. How has COVID affected both Feast and I suppose Same Ash's activities in the last 2 years?
Yeah, so being in Adelaide, we've been very, very lucky. I realise I'm saying that to two Melbourne locals.
Just rub it in, go for it.
It's been fun.
So some things haven't gone as smooth. So I'll be holding a forum next Wednesday, and it will be the third attempt. The last two attempts we've had were both of Adelaide's lockdowns. So one happens next week. I take full responsibility. It's my fault. So we basically have to teach the volunteers about COVID safety. Everyone gets hand sanitizer and masks. It's still mandated that masks are every public space here in SA. Everyone's checking in with their QR codes. Everyone's doing really well with social distancing. But apart from that, the real essence of the events that we go to hasn't been affected too much. The numbers might be a little bit down due to restrictions, but what we've done to get around that is a lot of places will have more shows. So instead of having one or two shows, they're having four or five shows. So they're still getting the same amount of people through the door, just over a couple of nights instead.
And so how did, I guess to what Adrian mentioned earlier, how has Same Ash's operations changed, whether it's client-facing stuff or, you know, how you head into the office, how has Same Ash changed over the last sort of 18 months or so?
Yeah, again, we've been very lucky. So the office itself is scanning in, ringing the doorbell, checking in before you actually come through the doors to make sure you haven't been in any hotspots. Most of the programs have been largely unaffected. Things that we rely on, so if we had some guest speakers coming or we send some people for some training interstate, they've obviously been affected quite largely. So we usually have a periodic survey rundown with some of the organisers who are based in Sydney. They're unable to come over, so me and my manager actually ran that forum earlier in the year. So we found ways to work around COVID when it comes to our programs, and we've had a few new projects actually born out of necessity when COVID first hit.
I'm glad to hear, yeah, that we've been handling it quite well. Back to Feast, what events are Same Ash running this year? I know you've got a few on.
Yeah, so we are running some fun stuff, but making it also very informative. So last weekend we had our first tour of a sex on premise venue. So we always get a lot of interest when we talk about a gay sauna, particularly from the straight community or people that are just really hesitant to go along for the first time. So before the venues open, we take a group of people through, we talk about the history of the place and why they're still needed. And then we take them through the building, show them what it's like. And when we do outreach a couple of weeks later, we usually see a few familiar faces. So we're happy that people are being a bit more relaxed. And then the other event that we're doing is a Ask Me Anything panel, and we'll be discussing sex work, and a lot of decrim stuff will fall into there as well. So we're working on decrim here in Adelaide with sex workers, so who better to discuss it than sex workers?
I guess Feast more generally, though, is more than just the events that Same Ash are running. It is a queer arts and cultural festival. For people who might be listening to this on Joy's website as a podcast and are curious about what to check out at Feast, what might they be surprised to see at a festival like this? What events might they be able to go to?
So some of the events that we've just been to over the past week, we started out Sunday morning with a queer history walking tour of Adelaide. So we went down what the host called the Dirty Mile. So we went from Adelaide's oldest functioning beat to Parliament House, to the Governor's Mansion, where there was a lot of queer parties back in the late 70s, all the way through to Victoria Square, where the town hall has raised the pride flag for us this year. On that same night, I went to a rope play workshop. So seeing somebody sort of hanging from the ceiling, very artistic with some music playing, put on a show. So that was two of the events on Sunday. We've had queer bingo, we've had comedy shows, we've had dance shows, there's been poetry slams, you name it, it's something we'll be on at Feast that you'll be interested in.
Those sorts of events though, like whether it is like live shows, whether it's comedy or music, or, I mean, there's a number of pages dedicated to special events, cabaret, Writing Live, which there are a lot of pages dedicated to, actually. Do you see a lot of these sorts of events going on in Adelaide throughout the year, or is it that Feast is something of a unique opportunity to see this kind of content?
Yeah, it is quite unique to see everything all in one space. The good thing about all the workshops is they act sort of like a taster. So most of the groups will put on a show, but they're also a community group throughout the year. So if you're into the writing or the there's a crochet workshop, there's knitting, all of those will run throughout the year as sort of community groups as well. So not so much as a show, but as a group that you can get involved in and you can be a part of the show in the following year.
So, Daniel, where can people find out more about Feast and more about Samish?
Yeah, so the best place to find out about Feast is their website, so feast.org.au. You can also go to their Facebook page. Same time, you can head over to our Facebook page, which is samish.org.au. That's our website. And that'll link to our Facebook page where it's continuously updated by our amazing social media people.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you very much.
Looking after the health and well-being of the LGBTI community. This is Well, Well, Well. Joy 94.9.
Hi, you're back on Joy 94.9, listening to Well, Well, Well with Jack and Adrian. Today we have two guests from the Positive Living Centre, part of Fawn Harbour Health, to discuss World AIDS Day. You're speaking with Alex and Stephen. How are you going today, guys?
Very well, thank you.
Very well, how are you?
Doing great here. We thought we'd have you in to discuss World AIDS Day and what that means and when it's taking place.
Wonderful. It's coming up very quickly.
Excellent. So what is World AIDS Day and why is it important?
Well, look, it's a big day on the calendar for us, certainly working within the community. It's December the 1st, so it's held every year on December the 1st. It's an opportunity for people worldwide really to sort of unite in the fight against HIV, show the support for people living with HIV, and also to, very importantly, commemorate those who have passed away over the years. World AIDS Day, in fact, was the first ever Global Health Day and held for the first time way back in 1988. So it's been around for quite a few decades now. The global theme this year is inequalities, end AIDS, and end pandemics. And certainly that's very much, you know, reflective of what we've been through the last year and a half, 2 years. And it really does highlight our urgent need to look at some of the inequalities that drive HIV/AIDS and still exist, and even with respect to the current pandemic around the world. And it really is about looking at inequalities, advancing human rights, looking at key populations, including people living with HIV, and making societies better. Certainly COVID-19 has been an opportunity for us to look at this in a more holistic fashion as well, and look at pandemics and how we support recovery and stability around the world. I guess one thing to really highlight this year in particular, Adrian, is that this marks the 40th year since first known cases of HIV became apparent. So it's four decades that occurred, 1981, where that was officially reported. So we've seen quite a number of cases worldwide since that day. So with this in mind, the national Australian World AIDS Day theme this year is 40 years of HIV, where to next?
And you mentioned earlier, Alex, that you worked in the community at the Positive Living Centre. Do you mind telling us a little bit about what is the Positive Living Centre, how it was established, and what sort of services operate out of the PLC?
Look, I'm happy to start, then I might pass it over to Stephen, who works within the sector as well. So we are Positive Living Centre, part of Thorn Harbour Health, as you mentioned before. So our entire service is devoted to delivering services to people living with HIV. We've been around for quite a number of decades. And perhaps Stephen, who works within the centre as well, might want to expand upon some of those services.
Thanks, Alex. Jack, the Positive Living Centre, as Alex alluded to, is a vibrant and safe space for all people living with HIV. And the main aim of the centre is to enhance the health and well-being of HIV-positive people through the provision of social, emotional, recreational and skills-based services and activities. So some of the services we have things like a naturopath available, nutritional services where we provide a pantry service to our clients where they can access food or pre-packed pantries every fortnight. Pre-pandemic or pre-COVID, we were offering lunches and dinners as well, and that those services will re-emerge as restrictions are easing. We also have exercise classes, other services like a barbershop, a needle and syringe program is available as well. And I guess our most utilized service would be our client care and support team, where we provide that emotional support to clients who perhaps are experiencing other complexities, such as housing issues, mental health concerns, alcohol and other drug concerns. So I guess HIV is one thing that brings all of our clients into us, but it's those other complexities that we're assisting or supporting them with.
Well, I mean, around a lot of the services that you provide as well, like you mentioned, you know, providing like access to the pantry on occasion, meal services, all that kind of stuff. With the exception of medical services, which I think make a lot of sense for people living with HIV and AIDS, what benefit is there in having a place like the PLC offer that stuff exclusively for people living with HIV and AIDS when there may be other support mechanisms available elsewhere?
Look, that's a good question, Jack. I might just attempt to answer that. And I think it really is thinking about this from the perspective of community and the fact that, you know, we're talking about 40 years of HIV that we've been aware of, that a certain amount of stigma and discrimination still exist, unfortunately, around this virus. And so I think this is about being quite aware of the personal journey of each individual and how potentially stigmatizing or discriminating or discrimination they might experience has impacted their lives. And what we really are trying to do is offer a service free of any of those sorts of elements of stigma or discrimination where people can feel, you know, that they're not going to be judged in any way, shape or form, where they can mix with kindred spirits in many ways and share their experiences and strategies of dealing with living with HIV. I think some of those are the real foundations of why a service like this is still so important, to have that sense of community and safety and comfort to share. I'm sure, Stephen, you might want to share your views on that as well, perhaps.
I think also we hear from a lot of our clients, and we know that social isolation is something that many people living with HIV experience. So to have a place where, as Alex said, that people can gather and meet, whether it be for lunch or dinner or whatever other activity they might choose to attend, is really important in combating that social isolation.
Yeah, it does seem like it's very important for people living with HIV to have a service free of stigma, offering support and safety to them. How does someone living with HIV access the PLC?
Look, there are a number of ways that someone can access the PLC. They can either be referred to us through their treating physician or clinic. There's a short intake and assessment process, and from there, people can access the services that they require.
World AIDS Day is on the 1st of December. What events have been held at the PLC previously? I mean, we are in the 40th year of HIV. How long have events for World AIDS Day been taking place there?
Oh, for quite a while, Adrian. I mean, my first involvement with a World AIDS Day memorial service was back in 2007, and they had been going for quite a number of years prior to that. And really, from a historical point of view, it really is an evolution of the candlelight vigil, which is still held in the middle of the year, but was the only function looking at commemorating those who had passed away back in the 80s and 90s. It evolved into being part of World AIDS Day, not only because the middle of the year, holding a candle, walking down a cold street wasn't very conducive to health at the time, but it also, integrating into the 1988 World AIDS Day program seem logical. So in terms of the services presented at the PLC, the core of the event is always the ceremony itself, where we do acknowledge those who have passed in the last year and give people the opportunity to acknowledge people in their lives who have passed over the years from HIV or related to HIV. And really, we hopefully are providing a space to share their thoughts, their feelings about those loved ones, while providing a bit of an atmosphere that's sensitive, compassionate, and allowing people to be acknowledged in a very respectful and supportive way. So there's that. That's the major part of what the ceremony or the event is at the PLC. We often, and we still do, have people who then provide song and provide some insight into where we are related to HIV over, either now or over the years. And we traditionally have groups like the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Choir perform for us in a compassionate, sensitive way, and also an uplifting and celebratory way. So it really is an important part of the calendar for many, many people in our community.
Is the World AIDS Day ceremony held by Thorn Harbour at the PLC really one of the only in Australia, or are there others held around the country as well?
I know globally there are memorials held. I would be lying if I said that I knew that there were others around Australia, but I definitely know there are global memorials held in other countries all over the world.
Suffice to say, there are many events that occur on the calendar for World AIDS Day. Many of them are, devoted to, thinking about where we are and where we've been and the people we've lost. Many of them are about raising awareness around the issues related to HIV, related to stigma, discrimination, treatment, advances in medication, all those sorts of areas. So there are many events across Australia and within Victoria that occur on World AIDS Day, prior to World AIDS Day, in AIDS Awareness Week. And this memorial service here in Melbourne is one of the key events for us in this community.
So this year for World AIDS Day, what will be taking place at the PLC?
This year, Adrian, I guess because the restrictions due to COVID were eased quite late in the year, we've had to pivot the memorial again as we did in 2020, and we are producing a recording, so a pre-recorded event, because we still are unable to gather face-to-face. So there will be a streamed event via the Thorn Harbour Health YouTube channel and Facebook page on December 1 at 6 p.m., still including all the same components that Alex talked about previously, so that are really important to the community to remember and celebrate those that we've loved and lost to HIV and AIDS over the years. So we're trying to incorporate all of those same elements in a pre-recorded piece.
You mentioned there was going to be an online event this year. What are the details for that?
Well, we'll be streaming the event at 6 p.m. on December the 1st, which is Wednesday. And for people who wish to view the event, you can see it on the Thorn Harbour Health's YouTube channel, and also we'll be streaming it on the Positive Living Centre Facebook page.
So if someone wants to learn more about the local World AIDS Day activities closest to them, where could they go?
Well, if people want to find out what's happening or the events on World AIDS Day, they can visit www.worldaidsday.org.au. Also, they can visit the Thorn Harbour Health website as well. And in terms of the memorial, there is an Eventbrite event as well. So people can visit Eventbrite and do a search for World AIDS Day.
And I guess it's worth mentioning as well, on top of those websites, you can also check out the World AIDS Day app on Android or iPhone to donate, to support efforts to end HIV and support people living with HIV straight from your phone. Stephen and Alex from the Positive Living Centre, thank you for joining us on Well, Well, Well.
Thanks, Adrian. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you both.
Keeping you in good health. This is Well, Well, Well. Joy 94.9.
And that that is the show for this week on Well, Well, Well. Big thanks to Daniel from SAMESH and Stephen and Alex from the Positive Living Center. If you want to know more about SAMESH, you can check out SAMESH, SAMESH.org.au. And if you want to find out more about Feast as well, Feast Festival going on in Adelaide, you can go to feast.org.au.
And if you want to know more about World AIDS Day, you can check out worldaidsday.org.au. Or if you want to know more about what's happening at the Positive Listening Centre, you can check out faunharbour.org or check out Faun Harbour's Facebook page at Faun Harbour on Facebook.
But that's pretty much the show for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, 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 your portal for up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being.
Sponsored by Faun Harbour Health. Thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.